This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Malcolm Pitt grew up and lived in Richmond, Virginia. He wrote this years ago, obviously, but he said about 5 a.m. in the morning, the morning of June 6, 1944, my phone rang in Richmond. A very close friend was calling to tell me that the Normandy invasion had just been announced on the radio. He knew that our only son was in this invasion, and he realized that our hearts were heavy with concern over this event. In a moment, my wife was on her knees by the bed, and I quickly followed her example. We prayed for our son's safety, and no doubt many other parents were on their knees as well. And somehow I felt that if God would only answer my supplication, I would accept more graciously any turn of events or reversals that might confront me. Our prayers were answered, and I have felt deeply the impact and the influence of this experience on my life. Though wounded, our son returned safely to us. Surely I owed God a debt I could never repay. That is just one example of what people went through in 1944. Just one simple example that was probably multiplied thousands upon thousands of times. And I was intrigued by Malcolm Pitt saying the first thing my wife did was hit her knees by the bed and said, "Let's pray." And he said, "I followed her example." We live in a culture that prayer is the last resort rather than the first response. You do know that. Prayer is the last resort in our country today than the first response. I want to say this before I even begin reading the Word of God. Spiritual warfare is real. And here's how I prove it. I can't prove spiritual warfare is real in terms of empirical evidence and saying, here's the proof that I can show you in the culture. You know what I can show you? The results. I can show you broken homes. And I can show you abuse. And I can show you murder. And I can show you crime, and I can show you the fallout of a culture that is being impacted in a negative way by spiritual warfare. And so spiritual warfare is real in the sense we can point to the fallout, and then people still deny it and say there is no such thing as spiritual warfare. There's no such thing as the devil. Some of you will remember old Saturday Night Live, going way back here, Saturday Night Live sketches with a woman called the Church Lady. And she would talk about Satan, and people would laugh. Isn't that funny? Nobody laughs today when they're impacted by a crime. When one of their relatives was murdered, and Satan is a murderer from the beginning, I really believe that any taking of innocent life can trace its roots to the one who is the murderer from the beginning. That's what Jesus called him. Jesus called Satan the father of all lies, which means any lie that you tell, any lie that I tell, can trace its roots back to the father, its DNA, back to the father of all lies, and that is Satan himself. Spiritual warfare is real. We're going to read 3 verses out of 2 Corinthians. First, let's look at the one in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5. Paul is speaking, and he says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ."
We'll continue this message on spiritual warfare tomorrow on Cross Hope. That's crosshope.org.
Sooner or later, you will have an experience in this life. If you live long enough, you experience enough things, you will realize there's something more to the struggle called your life than just you and your boss. just you and your wife, just you and your children, just you and the neighbors, whatever the case may be, you will recognize that there's more to this struggle that we call. And we're told by Paul in Ephesians that we're struggling not against flesh and blood. It's not a battle against other people. That there is spiritual warfare going on in spiritual realms around us, and we probably would be frightened out of our wits, and I really mean that. If the veil could be lifted and somehow your eyes and my eyes could see the warfare that's going on all around us. Get this. Going around your children. And going around your grandchildren. And going around the place called your neighborhood. And going on around the city that we call Dayton, Cincinnati metro area. Going around the state of Ohio. Going around the United States of America. And going on around our world. C.S. Lewis said there's two extremes when it comes to Satan. And I've never heard anybody put it better than C.S. Lewis. He said there are two extremes. There are the people that want to blame Satan for everything. If they sneeze, that's Satan. They believe there's a demon behind every door, underneath every bed, and he says, that's wrong. That's an extreme attitude to take. He said, but the other extreme is equally wrong. To say there is no satanic influence in our world, there is no evil, even though we see evil all around us, we don't want to connect it, for heaven's sake, to use that expression, we don't want to connect it with anything to do with a character called Satan or demonic. That's just too out there. And isn't it interesting how that we explain away things and say we don't want to have anything to do with evil and yet it's all around us? Tony Evans, Dr. Tony Evans of Dallas, Texas, says this, surrounding us is spiritual war. Surrounding us is a spiritual war. But amazingly, even Christian people live as if this conflict were not even happening. As if the battle of the ages was just a fantasy or a sci-fi story or a movie. Yet not one of us is immune to the consequences of spiritual warfare. Although the players fight in an invisible realm, we all face the effects, the fallout, the pain, the struggle, the defeat, the addiction, the heartache of their conflict every day of our lives. Until you recognize that your struggle is not with man, but with the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places, you will never begin to live in victory. Would you listen to that again? I think that's an important sentence. Until you recognize that your struggle is not with man, but with spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places, you will never begin to live in victory. Your victory in spiritual warfare must rest in the reality that God has given you everything that you need to live in the light of the truth of His victory in order to experience that victory and to become all that God has created you to be. But God will not dress you in the weapons of warfare. You and I are told, and I just read it in Ephesians 6, to put on the whole armor of God every day in order to experience that victory that is ours.
Well, I have no idea what spiritual warfare means to you. It may be a theoretical term, but for some people, my guess is it's real life. We talk about it tomorrow as we continue this message from 2 Corinthians about warfare, spiritual warfare in your life. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
I want to look at 2 Corinthians 10. First of all, let's bring up verse 3. For we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Everybody, this is a given, we all live in the world. We're not of the world, but we're in the world. Never changes whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian. There's a difference between being in the world and of the world. And I hope you catch that. That's not just a play on words. Being in the world means you live in it. Being in the world means you go to work every day. Being in the world means you do business and commerce with people in the world. Being in the world means you have responsibilities inside the framework of the world. But to be of the world is to sell out to the system. To be of the world means that the world is your deity. The world is your God. The world is the one you worship. So Paul says, though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Verse 4, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. You know, a natural question that people would ask here, well, if we have spiritual weapons, what are our weapons? May I tell you what I believe our number one weapon is? This book, the Word of God. You know what? What's ironic to me in our culture, we live in a culture of Christian people who couldn't quote the Bible if they had to in most situations. I'm not saying you have to have the book memorized. I am saying if you never read it, don't expect to have the power of the Word of God in your life. Does that make sense? If you and I never read this book, we never open it, we never crack the cover, and then we can't say, well, I've got the power of the Word of God in my life. I don't read it, never study it, I never open it at all, but I've got this book because I've got it like a good luck charm. It's on the coffee table over at our house. We've got Bibles all over the house. Do you read them? No, but we've got Bibles all over the house. This is the number one weapon, in my opinion, that Paul is referencing, the Word of God. Prayer is a weapon. I hope you realize that. Prayer is a weapon. I've said this before. I've even mentioned it in the email that went out this week. Anything you do in the name of Jesus is spiritual warfare. Anything that you and I do in the name of Jesus is spiritual warfare. So what do we pray? We pray in the name of Jesus. You realize that every time you say in Jesus' name what you're doing, you are calling upon His power and His authority? Most people don't know that, what that means. To say, Lord, I come to you on behalf of my son or daughter. I come to you on behalf of my father or mother or my wife, a sister or brother, my husband, whatever the case may be. And I do this in Jesus' name. I am claiming His authority and His power. Most people don't get it. So anything we do in the name of Jesus is spiritual warfare. Besides prayer and the Word of God, I think the Holy Spirit, when we call upon Him to work in our lives, that's spiritual warfare. That's one of our weapons. Talking to people about the Lord is spiritual warfare. In fact, you want to have an interesting experience this week. Talk to somebody you know, and don't do it just for the sake of, you know, proving a point, but do this. Talk to them about something spiritual, and you watch people squirm. You watch people become uncomfortable. You'll watch people change the subject. You'll watch people say, let's talk about something else. And it will happen. I see it happen all the time. As people want to get away from the subject of anything to do with the Lord, I've got an announcement to make. Spiritual warfare.
Well, this message from 2 Corinthians 10 continues tomorrow on CrossHope. Our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org.
When you sense the resistance of people to talking about prayer, they don't want to talk about the Bible, they don't want to talk about anything to do with the Lord God Almighty, that is resistance because of the spiritual warfare that's going on. These weapons have divine power, verse 4, to demolish strongholds. I want to talk about strongholds. I was trying to think of a fancy definition or interpretation of the word stronghold, and then I thought to myself, the answer is right in the word. Right in the word itself. What's a stronghold? Something that has a strong hold on your mind or your soul or your spirit. What has a hold on you? Could it be it's a stronghold in your life? I haven't been a big fan of Dr. Laura Schlesinger. She wrote a book about the Ten Commandments, God's Law for Today, which I thought was an intriguing thought for a book in our day and age, but she did. And she talked about the things that governed her life at one time, and she talked about her arrogance and her pride and her elitism, where she thought she was special. And you know what? She called them just different forces in her life. You know what I call them? Strongholds. Pride rule your life at all? It's a stronghold. You have elitism where you think, well, the rules are meant to be kept by everybody else but you. That's a stronghold in your life. Feeling you're always right and everybody else is wrong, that can be a stronghold. Doesn't have to be, but it can be. Feeling you know everything about a situation and nobody can tell you anything, that's a stronghold. And that's just for starters. Anything that comes against The Lord Himself is a stronghold in your life and in my life. And I think it's a worthwhile exercise to say to myself, and you say to yourself, Lord, would you reveal to me what strongholds are in my life? You know what? Some of you know immediately. And I'm saying that about myself. We know immediately what the strongholds are. What dominates your thought life? Stronghold. What do you think about when you go to sleep at night? What do you think about when you wake up in the morning? What is the dominating thoughts of your life that can be a stronghold in your life? And Paul says we have weapons that have divine power to take down strongholds. Verse 5 says we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Do you realize how much in our culture today is setting itself up against the knowledge of God? We live in a country, listen carefully, this is true. I hate to say this, but it's true. We not only live in a country that ignores God, and we not only have shifted to a country that mocks God, we live in a country that has contempt for God Almighty and contempt for the Word of God. There's a contempt, a hatred. You know, it used to be people would respect the Bible and they would respect the Lord and say, that's fine for you, I'm glad you believe that, but that's not for me. But there was a kind of a mutual respect out there. Now there's contempt and hostility and hatred of anything spiritual. And you say, that's pretty strong. It is, but it's true. Ephesians 6:12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Somebody asked me one time, Randy, can you just condense that and explain it to me what that verse means? I said, I think I can. And here's what I said. It means that there are forces at work all around us that we don't see with the human eye, but they're there.
Our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org.
It's interesting when you study D-Day. What was happening there was the United States forces in that case became the aggressors, became the invaders, and the German forces were the defenders. And spiritual warfare is both offensive and defensive. That's why Paul uses the term we have weapons, but then Paul talks about defensive maneuvers when he said, when you've done everything, you stand firm in the Lord. What does that mean? It sounds really poetic. It sounds real spiritual. But what it means you stand in the power of God and you recognize that ultimately all power and authority is with Him. I want to deal with that verse that says we take every thought captive in the last verse I read out of 2 Corinthians 10. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I was looking for an illustration and then I found it. An old illustration told by a missionary by the name of Max Warren, who was a missionary in a place called Papua New Guinea. Max Warren tells us of a custom of the natives in New Guinea. At certain times, they would have ritual songs and dances that they would sing and dance. They would work themselves up into a frenzy, and the ritual would culminate in what they called, get this, hard to believe, but this is what they called them, the murder songs. Work themselves up into a frenzy, and they would start singing what was called the murder songs, in which they would shout before God the names of the people they wanted to kill. How'd you like to go to that family reunion where you sing the murder songs and you'd sing the songs with the names of the people you wanted to kill? When the natives became Christians, when they were converted to Christianity, Max Warren says this, they retained those customs and that ritual. But in the murder songs, it was no longer the names of the people they hated, but the names of the sins they hated. And they shouted before God and called on Him to destroy those sins. And here's what Max Warren says. An old pagan custom had been captured for Christ. What an illustration. An old pagan custom had been captured for Christ. And then Max Warren asks the question, what is it in your mind and in your spirit that needs to be taken captive by Jesus Christ Himself? Even our very thoughts are to be taken captive by the Lord. Do you know what that means? Jesus would say in the Gospel of Mark, all the evil that's in your heart starts with your mind. You can read it in Mark, where Jesus said, from the heart come evil thoughts, and then murder, theft, adultery, lewdness, slander. You list all these sins, and Jesus said it all starts with the mind, with your thoughts. That's why we need to take every thought captive. We need to place it under the authority. And all that means is this. It's an expression that fully illustrates what's it mean to have the Lordship of Christ in your life. That's what it means. To take every thought captive isn't something mystical. It means Jesus is the Lord of my life. He's the Lord of my thought life. He's the Lord of everything in my life. Second, look at spiritual warfare. It's real. We don't obsess over it. We're not overly fearful of it. We recognize it. And recognize where the power is. It's in the Word of God. It's in prayer. Most of all, it's in the one whose name is above every name. His name is Jesus. Believe that today. Let's pray.
Is it possible in your life or in my life that the first step that we need to take is simply to acknowledge the reality of spiritual warfare? That may be a big step for you today to say, I recognize today that because of what 2 Corinthians 10 says, what Ephesians 6 says, I need defensive weapons. I need offensive weapons in dealing with spiritual warfare. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.